path. Like I said, we looked at that this morning. We looked at some different roads this morning. It was more, maybe some roads that were, I would say, maybe negative roads. Roads that we don't particularly want to look at, maybe not be on. The road of fainting, the road of instantaneous gratification, the road of despising God. Those are not all roads that I would say any of us say, you know what, I want to be on one of those roads. No. But tonight, maybe hopefully here this evening, to look at something, perhaps something a little bit more positive and seeing some of the roads that God does want us to be on, the ways that God does want us to go, and how to stay on those roads, how to stay in the path that God wants us on. It was said about four times about Joseph. These exact words are said about him. The Lord was with Joseph. It's said four times. It says two times it says that the Lord was with Joseph. The other two times it says that the Lord was with him, referring to Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. So simple question. How do you get God to be with you? Right? How do you get God to be with you? As we walk in this journey, in this life we call a path, maybe you'll call it like that. If you and I are walking on a path together, and then I go one way, and then you go another, we're not together anymore. I know that sounds simple. I'm not trying. You're saying, wow, that's about as deep as it's going to get tonight. Maybe so, but we're not together anymore. I was thinking about it this week. How many times a day, not a week, not a month, not a year, but how many times a day do you come to a fork in the road with your relationship with God? It could be in a reaction. It could be in a response. It could be in a thought or a temptation or even a decision. But how many times in one day do you come to a fork in the road, whether you're going to choose to walk with God or not walk with God? I just came up with a nice round number. I thought maybe my estimate is too high. I thought that maybe we come to about 100 of those a day. 100 different ones. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. I went over there to the kitchen this afternoon and found me a fork, I don't know why that we call our forks. We don't call them like this anymore, but maybe they got it from the old idea of the tuning fork, you have a fork in the road. There's different types of forks or different forks that you come to in the road. There's the fork right here that we use to maybe jab stuff, pick it up, get the steak off the grill or whatever it is, you've got this little fork right here. You've got this little plastic fork that's worth nothing. Can't stand these little things right here. You got white forks. You got, I got something else in here. Where is it at? Where are you at? That's not it. That's not the one I want right now. Here it is. That's a much better fork. This black fork, a little bit more sturdier right here. I don't like this one. It just bends. As soon as you stick it down into something, if it's anything, at all, it just bends right away. This one at least got a little help to it. But there's different kinds of forks. There's those right there. There's one that you eat with. There, you're just regular old fork. And I think I got another one in here somewhere. Yep, little salad fork, right? You come to all kinds of forks in the road. Life is full of decisions, is it not? Sometimes it feels like, man, when I come to a decision, I don't get like two decisions, right? It's not like God or this. It's like God or A, B, C, or D, right? I've got to go this way. I don't know what to do. It's not as easy as that. Sometimes there's other, and this is my favorite fork right here. Thought I'd get this one out. It's my last one, I promise, okay? Right there, a little fork right there. Sometimes they're just little decisions. They're just little thoughts. You realize that sometimes it's just a thought. That's all it is. Sometimes it's just a little thought. It's just a little thought that kind of creeps into your brain, and you maybe even slap yourself upside the head and you go, where did that come from, right? But you have an opportunity at that very moment to continue to dwell on that thought or to write it off and to move on. Even tonight, as you were singing a hymn, I bet some of you, I don't doubt it at all, I bet some of you were thinking at points in the hymn singing that you were thinking about something else. Isn't it amazing how our brain works like that?
Charles Spurgeon said this. He said that while he was preaching, he counted seven different thoughts while he was preaching. Seven different. I can identify with that. I don't know if I can get up to seven, but I can get up to multiple ones. Even while you're speaking, even while you're doing things, is that different thoughts, different actions, different responses can come into your mind, and you have a choice. What road will you take? What direction will you follow? Will you continue to follow God? Now, let me get all these forks out of the way so I can preach on the fork on the road. I don't know what this right here, this big old fork right here. Now, if you're given 100 choices a day, that means that you're given 36,000 plus choices a year. That's a lot of choices. How are you going to stay on the right road? Now, I am very glad that on the majority of the decisions that we make, that if we do make a wrong decision, I'm very glad and I'm very happy and I'm very glad for my merciful God that allows for a quick exit and return back to Him. Aren't you glad for that? It's not like driving out in West Texas where it's not another exit for 50 miles after this. It's like driving through the center of Austin. It's like an exit every single time you turn around. I'm glad that God oftentimes offers that. But like our story this morning, we saw that there is a place where there's so many times we get away from God that there might not be a road back to Him. Thankfully, God is merciful. Thankfully, he's like the father of the prodigal son, right? Who went so far away from his father, yet when he found himself in utter despair, he went back to his father and he received him with open arms. So the message tonight is not what not to do, but it's simply how do we stay on the path? It's not a very deep message, it's very simple. The very first point is this, it's very simple. If you're going to stay on the path in the right direction that God is going to, that you're going to go in, then simply this, walk in the direction God is going. Very difficult to follow God, stay with God, stay on the right path if you're not walking in the same direction that God is going. Walk in the same direction. That seems pretty simple, but you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed of the people and the answers that I have gotten in ministry and talking to people about how do you stay on that right path, and their answer is completely opposite from what the Bible says. It's amazing. Oh, we come up, it's an amazing people, we come up with answers sometimes, don't we? We make up stuff sometimes if we don't know if that's the right way to do something. We just kind of make it up. We kind of throw it out there. We kind of say, well, I don't really know what God says on that. I'm just going to kind of do how I want to do it. Sadly, some people raise their families that way. Sadly, some people try to parent their children that way. Well, you know, I kind of listened to some of my dad and mom did. I heard a couple of people on TV say this. I heard Dr. Phil say this and everything. And I'm just going to try to throw it out there and do my best, you know. And not one time have they ever gone to God's Word and said, this is what I need to do. It's amazing just talking with people. You ought to try that sometime. Let's talk to somebody about salvation. Man, you'll get some crazy answers with that. People got all kinds of ideas of what it means to go to heaven. The truth is that if you're going to walk with God, a couple observations here, you got to go in the same direction that He is going. Why don't people do that? Well, very simply, people don't know. People are ignorant. How can you do something that you don't know how to do, right? You with me tonight on that? I mean, if you don't know how to do something, you can't do it. John 1:5, Jesus, in the beginning of John, he says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't know. They didn't understand. They saw Jesus, but they didn't understand him. In Proverbs 1:22, there's a great question that that wisdom is put into personification, and it asks this question, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Take your Bibles and go with me over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why. I was told you in Genesis. I wanted to read this verse to you. Genesis 39, verse number 2. Sorry about this. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. I already told you that. And he was a prosperous man. and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Why was he prosperous? How was God with him? Well, he was walking in the direction that God was going. Now take your Bibles and go over to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. John 14, this is a classic example of not knowing the way. You know the verse, don't you? Jesus said unto him, I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But where does that come from? What's the context? Look here at John 14 in verse number 4. And Jesus says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas scratches his head a little bit, and he kind of looks over at Jesus, and he says, Lord, we don't know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus is standing there. He's like, okay, guys, you know where I'm going, and you know how I'm getting there. You know the way, right? It's kind of, you know the way. He just says it affirmatively, and Thomas is like, where are you going? We don't have a clue where you're going. We don't even know how to get there. What's going on? What are you talking about, Jesus Christ? What is this way? Where is this place? Where are you going? You're here with us. You see, at this point, the disciples had no clue. They hadn't entered into the forefronts of their brains, though Jesus has told them on multiple occasions that he was going to die, go to the cross, and rise again from the dead. That thought was not computing with them. It was not registering with them, all right? You ever told your kids something and you're like, do it like this, do it like this, do it like this, and they don't do it like that, right? It just doesn't register. It doesn't click with them. Yes, I see some of your parents looking at your children right now, all right? And some of your children are going like this. But here's the deal. He had told his children, his disciples, hey, listen up. This is the way it's going to be. And Thomas is like, I don't get it. And so Jesus says plainly, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's just like Jesus plainly speaking. It's him just talking exactly how it's going to be. I am the way. We don't know the way, Lord. Where are you going? I am the way, he says. I am the truth. I am the life. That's a literal translation of that passage. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There could be many areas in life where this is true also. Did you know that the Bible has specific teaching in the New Testament on how to live and the practice of remaining unmarried? The Bible has specific instructions on how to live and who can, and Jesus even mentions this himself, on what it means, and there are some people that just do not get married. Our world has taken the approach that if you don't get married, that means you're gay, right? And so you need to find somebody else that is like sex of you and marry them. But the Bible says, no, no, wait, it's like, no, that's not true. There's some people that are just not going to get married. The Bible has a whole entire teaching about that. The Bible says, teaches us how to raise our children. The Bible has instructions on how to... You realize the Bible has instructions on how to handle a lazy person. I mean, it has instructions on that. It tells us how to do that. I mean, it tells you how to live with a contentious wife. Okay? I mean, literally, it tells you what to do in scenarios like that. Here's my favorite one. The Bible even teaches us how a woman's hair is her glory and covering, providing her authority over the angels. And when you figure that one out, come to let me know, okay? All right? The Bible has so many instructions. It's amazing on what things do and what things are all about. I'm making the point is that if we don't walk in the direction of God, it might just simply be that we just don't know which way he's going. The instructions are found right here in God's Word. And we have to take advantage of the opportunities that we have in the morning, evening, afternoon, whenever it is, maybe on a Sunday like this, to learn and to know those instructions. Second observation is that when you walk in the direction of God is going, is that some people don't do that because they don't know the way. But second observation is this. When given the advantage or given the opportunity to know which way, then you better listen. Jesus says that yet a little while and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now, that's a profound statement, right, of Jesus Christ. You're walking in darkness, that means you don't know where you're going. And that's so true, man. You walk in darkness, you have no idea where you're going. I'll never forget, I was at a buddy's house of mine, and we were coming in. We were outside doing something. It was real late. It was late at night, but it wasn't real late. It was just dark, okay? You know, it was dark 30. We're coming in the house. I'd never been to my friend's house, in fact, before. Maybe once or twice before, but it was always in the daytime, never at night. And I was walking in the house, and I couldn't see anything. And I kind of walked in. I stumbled over something. He said, hey, watch out for that. It always is there. And I'm like, dude, why don't you lead the way? You know what I mean? That's not my house. He's like, I just go in. So I'm going in. I'm walking through the garage. I'm trying to feel for things. And to this day, because of what I'm about to share with you, I always take care of a certain problem here I'm getting ready to tell you about. I'm walking through the garage, and I'm kind of feeling around, and he says, the light switches over to your right. And I walk in, and I'm feeling around. I have no idea where I'm going. Why? Because it's dark, all right? And I reach up, and I found the light switch. And for some reason, somebody never put the light cover on the light switches till this day that I always put covers on light switches and receptacles, all right? I didn't get the light switch. My hand went right inside of the box right there. And it's dark, all right? So what do you see? Flash of light, all right? And it's on me, okay? And I'm just, and he's behind me. He touches me, and he gets shocked behind me. I said, that's what you get for not leading the way. You knew that thing wasn't there. I mean, that's the kind of trouble you get yourself in physically, that if you don't know the way and it's dark outside, you're not going to be able to find things. And that is true about our spiritual life. We're going to get in trouble if God shines the light down on us and he says, here's the path, walk ye in it, right? And he says that, here's the way, walk ye in it. But yet we're like, not right now. No. Listen, that's the light. It's been shown to you. Now walk in it. Go in the way that God has told you to go in, because there might be coming a day where darkness comes, and he says, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Darkness may come upon you. Walk in the light as ye have the light. You say, and some people come up with this false opinion. They think, I'll walk in the light. I'll do what's right one day. That's a wrong opinion. That's a wrong ideology. You're assuming on the grace of God. You're tempting the Lord. You're tempting the Lord. God says, no, here's your way. Here's the light. Here's the path. Walk ye in it. And if you don't, there's no guarantee that that path may close down. That darkness may come and may overshadow you. You're saying, you're stuck in the dark going, which way do I go now? Which way do I go now? And unless God is gracious to show you another way, unless God is gracious to open the windows of heaven and show which way you should go, unless God is merciful, and which many times he is, which many times when we do hit our knees, and maybe it's in that moment of darkness that God wants us to be in, and we hit our knees and we ask God, God, I need you to open a way. I need you to show me a way. Hey, listen to me. If you're like Jonah and you mess up the first time, and yet the second time when God says go to Nineveh, you better listen the second time. Amen. When you hit your knees and God opens the door and opens the way and shines the light back down on you, it may be a small beam, it may be a very small ray, but you better listen that time. You better listen. Listen to what God says. Walk in the direction that God is going. This is the purpose why Jesus came. He says, I came to open their eyes to Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So if God has shown you, if God has shown you the way to respond to your spouse in your marriage, if God has shown you on how you should handle your finances or how you should instruct your children or how you should deal with that rebellious co-worker or how you should deal with that boss that is getting on your nerves or how you should deal with any other varied life situations, if God has showed you how to do that, then you need to take advantage of the light that God has given to you and walk in it. And walk in it. Follow Him. Go in the direction that God is going. And the third observation I have with this point is this, is that if you do, oftentimes people will not understand you. They won't understand you. Remember when Jesus in Luke 2 goes down to the temple? And he's teaching and he's hearing these doctors talk. His parents don't find him after a couple of days. I've always questioned that, you know. Why did it take 2 days to find your son? They didn't realize that he wasn't missing. I mean, I guess they were traveling in a large caravan, I guess. It's possible. But when they finally find him and realize that he's okay, they actually misinterpret him being at the temple for recklessness and disobedience. But we know that Jesus Christ was not reckless and he was not disobedient. When you walk in the same direction that God is going, people are not going to understand you. That's why the world gets mad at Christians for perhaps having a view that is not aligning with them. Maybe disagreeing with certain lifestyles or whatever it might be. The world is not walking in the direction that God is going. And so when you and I walk in the direction that God is going, the world is not going to understand. Your family might not understand. You usually might be mistreated because that which is not understood is usually mistreated. Do you realize that? That which is not understood is usually mistreated. People that are not understood are usually mistreated. But maybe I give you some assurance. God always understands you. And God knows exactly the direction in which you're going. And if you're walking with Him, I'll tell you what, He'll be glad to walk with you. Draw nigh unto God, and He will what? Draw nigh unto you. First point, and staying on the right path with God is going in the direction God's going. Second point is this, and here's where I find myself in trouble. Don't get ahead or get behind God. I mean, we want to get ahead of God. We want to get right in front of Him. We want to stay in front of Him, but we need to learn to walk in step with God. Notice how many times that Joseph in his life, why was the Lord with Joseph? It's very simple. He stayed in step and in tune with God. We were singing that last song right there, and I was looking at the notes down through that song, and there was a couple of times I wasn't holding it out right, and there was a couple of times I was missing it and everything, and I was trying not to look over at my wife because I mean she's a pianist and she's a musician and everything, and Caleb's over here and Brother John, I mean these people, they, y'all know music and everything, and I'm up here, I'm doing the best I can, and I know I missed the half note and I know I missed the dotted note and I didn't hold it out long enough. I don't hold on tune a lot of times with that piano over there. I know that, okay? I'm not a musician. I didn't go to school for it, all right? As Marshall pointed out to me this afternoon, asking me what a Master of Arts in Bible Exposition is, all right? It has nothing to do with music on there, all right? I went to one little class in that little practical theology class where a guy taught me how to wave my hand like this. And, you know, that's the only lessons I ever got in music. And I still don't think I do it right. I know I don't. Here's my point. We need to stay in tune with God. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't get behind Him. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Okay, how do you reverse that? That's great to know. How do I reverse not fainting in the day of adversity and my strength being small? Well, listen to Psalm 27:14. Listen to the promise of God. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One thing that every believer can do, you might not play a piano, and you might not lead a song, you might not preach a message, you might not even be able to read your Bible through in a year because maybe you have some way that you just can't do it. You've tried and you tried. But I can tell you one thing that every single believer can do. Wait on God. Everybody can do that. There's nobody in here that's either physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally challenged that cannot wait on God. You want to know the promise of God? You want to have strength for your heart? Then wait on God. Say, I can't wait. Then you won't be strong. Because the promise is, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. That's the promise. Wait on Him. Wait on Him to open a door. Wait on Him to close the door. We so often want to open and close doors ourselves that God's saying, it's not time to do that. I'm not prepared for you to do that. That's not your time. That's not your place. You're not in this place. But we are all in the propensity to try to get ahead of God. If you do that, you will not, in effect, earn or get strength, but rather you will lose strength. Because you will be the one working and trying your best to get ahead, and you're just going to faint. Just going to faint. Wait on the Lord. But, let me say this too. We're not just prone to get ahead of God, right? We're sometimes prone to procrastinate and get behind on God. Remember Lot? The angel said, it's time to go. Well, I got a few more pots and pans to get here together, right? Mrs. Lot said, well, I need to get the dresses out of the closet. You know what I mean? The daughters were saying, well, we got to get our purses and all our stuff, you know? How many of y'all have ever tried to get out of the house with three women? I mean, it's just not an easy thing to do, you know? Man, you got to get this, you got to get that, you got to get this over here and everything. It's just not easy to get out of the house with the family sometimes. I mean, everybody's got to have their drink. Everybody's got to have their little cup. Everybody's got to have their little thing. You know what I mean? And so they're meandering around the house. I want to get this. I want to get this. And finally, the angels are like, listen, enough is enough. And grabs one daughter by one arm, another daughter by the other arm. The other angel grabs Lot and Mrs. Lot by the other arm and says, we're going. It's over with. We're getting out of here. We can't leave the city until you leave the city. And when you leave the city, fire and brimstone is going to fall down upon this place, okay? Let's go. We're leaving, okay? Let's think of a more current illustration. The church at Jerusalem. Great church. Not like Lot or the people of Lot. Not at all. Or the people of Sodom. Church of Jerusalem, great church. Wonderful church. But what did they do? Spent time deciding this or that. Acts chapter number 6 had a big falling out almost over the widows in the church and how to make this decision to decide this decision. I'm not saying there was anything wrong with that. That's good. But they only followed 3/4 of the command that Jesus gave. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. To Judea, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. They stayed in Jerusalem. God said, fine. Persecution was sent. Scattered. Everywhere they went, preaching the word. But nonetheless, God had to send persecution in there. And in so doing, they did and they followed the command of God. God might take the liberty to move us if we procrastinate on Him. And I'll tell you this, by experience and by reading and by the Bible, it's always much more pleasant when you walk in tune with God than when God has to move you. Walk with God. Don't give ahead. Don't give behind. This comes in the form of false thinking. The devil says to us, he says, you can do that later. I can guarantee you this. Everyone that's younger than the age of 30 years old in here, everybody that's younger than the age of 25 years old in here, and maybe even older than that, the devil will tempt you into thinking, you know what, you can serve God later. You've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time. You can serve the Lord later on. You don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it later. There's an old adage. It's an incorrect adage, but it's an old one that used to say that young men play, middle-aged men work, and old men pray. Young men pray. Did I say play? I said pray, right? Young men play, middle-aged men work, and old men pray. That's a false adage. It's a false saying. No, we ought to all be praying. We ought to all be living for God. We ought to all be serving God. Don't let that devil, don't let him talk you into believing that, you know what, you can do it later. You can do it later. So many times I was reading the scriptures, it says today. Today, if you'll not harden your heart, as in the day of provocation, in the day of wilderness. When they saw my hand, 40 years long was I grieved with that generation, he says. But he says, today, listen to God today. And then finally, walk in fellowship with God. Some of the greatest times I have in my childhood memories is sitting in a deer stand with my dad. I mean, it was great times. We had good times. We would talk. We would laugh. We would be hunting. We'd be looking. There might be even times there was hours that we didn't even talk to each other. Some of your ladies' eyes just got big as saucers right now. You're like, how in the world did you spend hours not talking at all? I mean, we literally just sometimes didn't say anything. It was great. It was awesome. It was an awesome 4 or 5 days that we'd spend together each year. I enjoyed that time with my dad. I looked forward to that time. Is it because my dad and I were separated throughout the rest of the year? Not at all. We lived in the same house my whole entire life. It's because my dad and I didn't have a good relationship that he got on my nerves or I got on his nerves or I didn't listen to him or I was just like this complete rebel. But these 4 or 5 days, man, I was an angel. You know, was that it? No, that wasn't it at all either. I'm not saying I wasn't a rebel. I'm just saying that that wasn't the case. What was so special about that time? What was special about that time is literally he sat here, I sat here. Do you get the point? He sat here. I sat here. Shoulder to shoulder. Hour after hour. Day after day. With my dad. Right here. Some have said that nearness is likeness. Why don't you invite God to sit down with you when you go on a drive tomorrow? When you get in your car tomorrow, you say, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. I know that, all right? But do you realize that every single time that you sit down in your vehicle by yourself? When you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep anymore, do you say, you know what? I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to talk to God. When you're going through a difficult time, do you talk to everybody else, but you don't talk to God? We need to realize that if we're going to stay on the right path, then we must walk in fellowship with the Lord. Walk in fellowship with Him. There's two men in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Enoch and Noah. And of both of them, it said these words, they walked with God. They walked with God. Walk with Him. Exercise with Him. Work with Him. Do you work with God? You say, what do you mean? Like, kind of like work out a deal? No, I mean, like, do you like work with God? I mean, whenever you're working, is He with you? You say, of course He's with me. No, again, what I'm saying, is He with you? Do you recognize that? Do you believe that? Do you talk with Him? Is He there with you? Do you actually say, Lord, I need you here with me. I need your help. You're not making a lot of sense, preacher. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says what? Pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing if you don't constantly practice the presence of God? If you don't practice the presence of God, if you don't realize, if you don't think through the fact that God is with you every single step of the way, and if you come to a fork in the road and you're walking in the same direction that God's walking, and you're not ahead or behind God, and so you can see which way He goes, and you're literally walking right beside Him in fellowship with Him, talking to Him, then when the fork comes, you know what sometimes, have you ever had this happen? You ever been talking to somebody in the car, sitting side by side? You're talking, you're just talking away and everything. You're just having a good time, a friend, a spouse or whatever. And you're just talking away and the person's driving. They're driving and everything. They're going down the road. And finally, you kind of look up and you go, wait a second. Where are we at? And we had to make a turn up here. You got so lost in the conversation that you didn't even realize you made a turn. You didn't realize that you were on the interstate anymore. You didn't realize that you're on the same road anymore. You had turned off and now you're in a different place, different locale, and you're going, oh, how do we get here? I got lost in my conversation. I got lost in this talking that I was doing with you. Wouldn't that be so amazing that if we walked in God and we practiced talking with God, communion with God, that whenever a fork came in the road that we didn't even realize there was a fork in the road? Because we're walking with God. When one of these forks came in the road, you know, four different decisions, multiple choice, A, B, C, or D, we didn't even realize it. We just were walking with God and we didn't even realize that we were going. Enoch was like that, was he not? He was walking with God, and all of a sudden God said, you know what, Enoch, you've been walking with me so long, 300 years, he said, why don't you just walk on up here with me in heaven? And Enoch was not, for the Lord took him. Pretty simple. He was not because the Lord took him. We don't do this as much anymore, but we sometimes do. With phones and GPSs and all the other things. But every once in a while, we still do this. But you'll be at church, or you'll be at a family function, you'll be at a restaurant, and you'll say, hey, follow me back to my house. Well, let's go back to my house. I got something for you. Let's just run back to the house, all right? And Marley, hey, just follow me, okay? I live down this really long dirt road, and it's kind of hard to get to. And it's just best to follow me, okay? You ever been in a situation like that? And then you're driving down the road. You're driving. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. You kind of look in your rearview mirror, and like, where's so-and-so? You slow down. Finally, they catch up. I mean, you're not speeding. You're not like a race car driver taking curves at, you know, 90 miles per hour or anything like that. You're just driving. And then you look up again. Where are they at? You have to slow down. Yet. And sometimes you pull over to the side of the road. I mean, you go through the stoplight and they choose not to, even though it's still green. I don't know why people choose to do that. Sometimes they come to a stoplight and they say, oh, I'm going to slow down at the stoplight for some reason. Even though it's not stopping. It's not even yellow. It's green. I'm going to slow down there. And they slow down and they stop. They get caught at the stoplight. All right, I'll wait on you. And then you make a turn, a right-hand turn, and you look in your rear. Okay, here they come. And you look, and boom, they just drive on by. You're like, wait, God, where are you going? Are you following me? What are you doing here? And finally, you make it to the house, and you're like, man, I wish I would have just given my address and said, hope you make it, right? And what if it was like that with the Lord? Is God saying to us, hey, just keep up with me. I'm not walking that fast, all right? I'm not moving that fast. Stay with me here. Stay with me. Keep up with me. Keep beside of me. When you come to that path, that fork, and I'll have another one on me right now. You know, I got rid of them all. But when you come to a fork of anger, of bitterness, hatred, despising, instant gratification, you're not ahead, you're not behind God. You're walking with God. You know what is right to do. You're going in the same direction that He's going. And the fork in the road of bitterness, anger, lust, whatever it is, comes up in your life. You know what? I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God. God wants me to be kind and compassionate, loving and understanding. And that's who He is with me, and that's who I want to be with others. I'm going down that road. You know, just how many forks in the road do you come to? Will you come to in the next, I don't know, when you go to bed, 3 or 4 hours? 5 hours? I guarantee you'll come to several of them. What will depend you walking on that right road? What will make the difference in your life being a life like Joseph, where it says the Lord was with him? Ask yourself the question, are you going the same direction God is? Do you know even what God says? Take any thing that you want to, any problem that you have. Do you know what God says on that matter? What is your biggest problem in life right now? Everybody has one. What's your biggest problem? What's your biggest hang-up? What's your biggest worry? What is it? I'm not asking you to tell me. You know it in your own heart. Why don't you find out how God deals with those things? See, I don't know where to start at. Well, I have a Master of Arts in Bible Exposition, all right? So, Marshall even asked me, what's a Master of Arts? That is a Master of Arts on Google. What does that mean? Oh, yes, that is. I don't even know what a Master of Arts is. I had to figure it out. I had to remember what a Master of Arts was. That's what I'm here for. I want to be a shepherd. I want to help. I want to show you some things in the Word of God. I want to be able to open up God's Word. My wife's pretty good at it, too. For you ladies, she's been doing this thing for a long time. You're raised in a pastor's home, practically memorized the book of Proverbs. I mean, she knows. We've been given light. We've been given things that we can understand. Are we walking in that light? Are we getting ahead of God? Are we saying, well, I'm going to do it. No. Wait on God. You will not have any strength getting ahead of God. You'd be tired, wore out, no energy, unable to praise God because you're getting ahead of God. And then walk in fellowship with Him. 1 John chapter 1. In verse number 3, he says this: that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, listen to this, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We'll stop there. Friend, fellowship can be maintained with each other and with God as we walk with Him. It's simple, but practically, I know it's very difficult. We get caught off guard. We get to thinking in ways and directions that we shouldn't. And frankly, that's why we do come to church oftentimes. It's just to be reminded of how and why, and simply to just stay walking with God. Stay on the path of Him. I don't know how to do this, God. God, I've gotten off the path. Would you show me more light? Would you show me the way I need so I can get back on the right path? Father, we're thankful for this evening.